I shared at the Mass last evening that the Feast of Corpus Christi is very meaningful to me personally. It was actually 10 years ago on this liturgical feast that I went to a Sunday Mass in a Catholic church for the first time in my life. And I was actually not in Calgary. I was in North Carolina at a conference, and I was prompted to go to this beautiful church where it was the Feast of Corpus Christi. And so what a gift this particular solemnity is for me, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to now gather as we think particularly about the body of Christ. In order to become proficient, be it at singing, acting, playing an instrument, playing a sport, becoming proficient and skilled in an academic subject, one of the keys is repetition. Without this kind of constant remembering, we will not be able to act accordingly or adequately in order to sing the lines, to play the game, to answer the exam questions, if there is an exam, to the best of our ability. And so here on this day, we are celebrating the Feast of Corpus Christi. And there is nothing that we do as Catholic Christians that is more repetitive than the Mass. The Mass is at the very heart of that action, that expression of our faith that we do over and over and over again. In the reading that we'd heard from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, there are twice where St. Paul, in quoting our Lord, has this line, "Do this in remembrance of me." Now hold on to that idea, this word remembrance, because I'm going to return to it in a minute. And then at the very end of that passage, St. Paul summarizes what our Lord had said by saying these words, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," we do something very specific. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. At the very heart of what St. Paul is writing here is there is a form of spiritual repetition that we are called to as Christians that is essential to our spiritual well-being. Now, there's a word that St. Paul uses in this passage that I particularly love. In the very first verse of our reading, he says, "For I received from the Lord." Now, this English word "received" does not capture the intensity of the Greek word. It would be better translated this way: "I seized from the Lord." I seized. You see, there's an energy to it. There's an urgency that St. Paul is trying to express that reminded me of my 8-kilogram fluff ball, whose name is Yogi. Every evening, Yogi, at around 7 p.m., will go down by the washer and dryer, because above the washer and dryer, there is a cupboard. And in this cupboard are these snacks called greenies. Yogi loves greenies. And so if I or one of my family members is there to give Yogi his greenie, he doesn't just receive it. He seizes it, and he takes it, and he eats it. Let me tell you another story. A girl in our parish this year received her first Holy Communion. And she was talking about this with her mother, and she said, "Mommy, every Sunday I now get to receive Jesus. And Mommy, because I go to a school where we have Mass every Friday, I get to receive Jesus twice a week. And Jesus tastes delicious." Be it my little canine friend, but even more significantly, this 7-year-old. This is what St. Paul means when he said, "I didn't just receive it, I seized it." For he understands the importance of the Eucharist. Another thought. If you were to ask St. Paul this question, "St. Paul, what do you mean when I say the word New Testament? He would not have said, oh, those are the books that include the Gospels and all those letters I wrote. For him, the New Testament would have been the new covenant in my blood. And for the earliest Christians, therefore, the New Testament, the new covenant, is the Mass. And so what I'm trying to convey to you here this morning is something very important. At the heart of our Catholic faith is this understanding of the centrality of the Eucharist. And we are to remember and remember and remember to do it again and again and again and again and again. Not by rote in an indifferent way, no, but with that kind of clear intention that St. Paul has is when he says, I received, I seized what Jesus gives to me. Think about it this way. In our first reading, it's a remarkable text. We hear of this man called King Melchizedek. He only shows up twice in the Old Testament. In Genesis 14, and in that psalm that we read. You don't hear about him anywhere else. And in the New Testament, he shows up in the letter to the Hebrews. Now listen again to the first part of this text. After Abram's return, King Melchizedek of Salem. What's Salem? It means peace. The word Jeru means city. So Jerusalem is the city of peace. And this King Melchizedek is the king of peace. Interesting. And what does he do? He brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram. Do you see the connection between the bread and the wine? This king of God Most High, and he blesses Abram. Isn't that remarkable? At the beginning of the Bible, we have the anticipation of the Eucharist. And the whole of the Old Testament narrative finds its culmination in the Last Supper when Jesus takes bread and wine and says, this is my body, this is my blood. And so here at the very heart of our story is the biblical story. And when we begin to find our place within that story, there is a renewal that happens in our lives. And I've mentioned this before. It won't so much be the Sunday obligation, although obligation is an important thing. It will be the Sunday inspiration. I want to be at Mass. I want to have that same kind of passion in my life that St. Paul had. I want to be like Abram, where I say, God, bless me through your Eucharist. Because if we don't remember, if we don't repeat it, we will forget it. And this brings me back to the word remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. I've mentioned to you that the New Testament was written in Greek. And the word for remembrance in Greek is this word, anamnesis. Let me say that again, anamnesis. That's the word remembrance. Now, if you take off the first two letters, the A and the N, you get the word amnesis, from which we get the English word amnesia. Do you see the connection? It's only two letters, but that A and that N make all the difference. For you see, if we do not do this in remembrance of him, we will forget him. And with time, the longer we stay away from the Mass, the more we will drift away from God. Remember I mentioned the letter to the Hebrews that talks repeatedly about Melchizedek? In that same letter, the writer explicitly talks about the Mass. Do not stop meeting together as some have habitually come to do. And so to remember is vitally important. I'd like to tell you the story that appeared in a book by a famous neurologist by the name of Oliver Sacks. And this book has a very strange title, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat. And what he does in this book is he describes people who have various neurological illnesses or challenges. And in one chapter, he writes about a sailor by the name of Jimmy. Jimmy is now a patient in a nursing home whose severe neurological disorder had left him with a severe and profound amnesia. He simply had no memory of anything, having no ability to retrieve the past, no ability to construct a meaningful present. Dr. Sacks says he wore a look of infinite sadness and resignation. Now, this nursing home was a Catholic nursing home run by an order of nuns. And so Dr. Sacks asked the nurses, the nuns, has Jimmy lost his soul? To which the nun said, Doctor, you gotta be kidding me. Come to chapel and see Jimmy participate in the Eucharist. And so Dr. Sacks did. And this is what he observed. I saw an intensity and steadiness in Jimmy that I had not observed before. As he received the Eucharist, there was a perfect alignment of his spirit with the spirit of the Mass. There in worship, Jimmy was no longer at the mercy of a faulty and fallible memory. He was wholly held, absorbed. He whose mind was broken was given in worship, says Dr. Sacks, a continuity and unity so seamless it could not permit any break. Isn't that remarkable? In the Mass, Jimmy experienced anamnesis. He did this in remembrance of Jesus. Jimmy, in his own way, is like us all. In the final analysis, none of us is able to construct a self. We are part of a story that is always bigger than we are, and that it is not primarily of our own making. When we have no faithful memory, God remembers. And by the grace of God, the Spirit whispers the lyrics of saving grace and the gospel into our ears. And for Catholic Christians, the place this happens most significantly is at the Mass, when we gather together to remember, to do it again and again and again. Saint Gianamola, who was the first saint when canonized that both her husband and her children were present. It's never happened before in the life of the church, and it happened, I think, in the late 90s. Saint Gianna, who died in 1962, had a wonderful devotion to the Eucharist. And she has this lovely line with which I'd like to end my homily today. She says, our body is a cenacle, a monstrance. Through its crystal, the world should see God. Our body is a cenacle, a monstrance. Through its crystal, the world should see God. In a way, it's very simple. As we eat Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, in turn, we are to become more fully Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, in how we live our lives. To be a monstrance, in which Jesus lives, and by our lives, he is glorified. Indeed, it's true. Repetition is the key to developing and maturing as a musician, an athlete, an academic. And in a very special way, repetition is important for those who want to grow in the spiritual life. For after all, what is more important? To become like Jesus. And he tastes delicious.